Since he's holding Voyager and Enterprise over my head, I must retire. Really, it works out either way for y'all.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Well, there was the one episode of Voyager, not the one episode of Voyager, that one episode of Voyager. Bok Cobb was watching that one with the with Tuvok's hologram of the mutiny,
Christ.
which would probably be pretty entertaining to talk about if we didn't have to watch the episode for it.
Yeah.
Just have Bok Cobb come on and talk about it.
Just go on vague recollections of 10 years ago.
I would totally have Bok Cobb come on for an episode to talk about Star Trek.
Yeah.
But
I
he'll
don't think he
never.
actually has a voice, though. I suspect he's just computer AI.
Something
Would
like that, yeah.
that ruin the magic?
I think Bok Cobb is actually probably just like an especially angry chihuahua.
So is he, is a, or is he like, or is he like, or is he like what we decided a Noe was, and
Oh, a
just doesn't know?
conglomeration of a lot of people.
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly.
I mean, like 1,000 monkeys typing on Twitter.
I mean, sometimes it
Now
seems
I'm
that way.
remembering that time he was, that time there was a mouse or something in his kitchen.
Yes. That war he had where he didn't want to kill it, he just wanted to remove it.
And he did it like 5 times.
Coming back?
Yeah, the very
Yeah.
next day.
Even when he drove it like 5 miles away.
I thought that was the cat that came back. Are you sure? Or is he sure it was the same mouse then?
What?
Well, I mean, as
Not
sure as
all mice
Bok
look the
Cobb can be
same, you
about anything.
racist.
Wow. Damn.
I liked Bok Cobb's remarks about DS9 on Twitter this morning. About how it should have turned into a mecha.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty brilliant, I have to say.
Oh man.
Where Goldilocks gets possessed by Paul Race and becomes giant, and Sisko's like, fuck that. And shifts the lever, and they spray Odo around like in Ghostbusters 2.
Oh man. Oh.
Also, from earlier, what if instead of Avery Brooks, Sisko was played by James Avery?
No.
The Uncle Phil is of Bajor.
He would look good with a little nose ridge though in the earring. He could rock that look.
Man.
Here's a gem from Bok Cobb. Wait, one episode of Voyager. This episode synopsis sounds god awful. No, Bok, that's every episode of Voyager.
Yes, which is why I'm not on the podcast.
Oh. I love this one. How do you get butt imprints out of carpet?
What?
And that's apparently a follow-up to, yep, that nap earlier was definitely ill-advised.
Yeah, when you wake up and you have carpet burn on your ass cheeks, it's usually a bad thing that happened.
Actually, I think he had ass burn on his carpet.
That sounds even worse somehow.
Got racing stripes down the middle now. Was he like, what is he trying to express his anal glands like a dog? I can imagine him scooting around with his legs up in the air.
Well, like Madonna says, you need to express yourself.
3 days ago, I think somebody stole the mailbox.
That
he's not sure about it.
Like,
Like, hey, is it
is it
there?
there, or is it not there?
Like Schrodinger's mailbox.
I can't tell if the writers intentionally wrote Janeway as a raving psychotic or not.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
Well, does it count if the writers themselves are psychotic and they don't know the difference?
Oh, best. What kind of dystopian future hell has Andy Dick holograms running around performing medical procedures?
One person we're going to immortalize in holographic form, it's going to be Andy Dick. Because we need him for all eternity, right? He's a treasure.
I had to watch that episode for nothing.
Well,
Nothing.
now I will approve of having a hologram of Andy Dick just for the future, as long as there's also a hologram of John Lovitz to continuously punch it.
There you go. Best thing ever.
Can I punch the hologram of Andy Dick?
If you play the role of John Lovitz, yes.
It stinks.
I'll even do that.
Like, that's one of the future's most popular hologram or holodeck programs.
Andy Dick punching?
Yeah.
Not to be confused with just regular dick punching, which is a little different.
Oh, yeah. No, we finished superhero time.
I like Bach's comments in the last episode of Voyager. It should have ended with future Janeway laughing at the Borg Queen like in the Predator.
Podcasts, The Final Frontier. These are the audio logs of the podcast Superhero Time. Their 5-month mission? Explore old episodes of Star Trek, alienate even more listeners, and boldly plow your mom where no one has come before.
Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek. With Chris.
But Gary 789.
Hey, Mickey.
So you get authentic Riker hollow semen.
Scott.
Mommy, why is my penis so much bigger than everybody else's? Hun, that's because you're 35.
And Fort Max.
Dong, dong.
This week on that one episode of Star Trek, Mickey's doing the summary. We just decided.
Yay.
I hate you all. But I love lore, because lore is better than all of you.
No, you love lore because lore hates all of us, too.
That's true, he does.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so this week it's Next Generation Data Lore.
Season 1, yes, the best season.
Yeah, baby.
You know, I actually like Season 2 better than Season 1.
Because Season 1 is so much shittier.
Yeah, okay, so like... Season 2 still has some of that Season 1 shittiness and some of that we don't exactly know what the hell we're doing.
Right.
But it's also starting to get on that track of Season 3 and Season 4 where, like, it really picks up in production quality.
Also, Season 2's the one affected by the writer's strike, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes.
Which contributes to its Season 1 shittiness.
Okay, so here's the thing I don't understand about Season 1, and this episode specifically.
Yes.
Is that, okay, we're on the first season of the show. It's 1986. We really fucking have to do an evil twin episode. By God, it is not soon enough. We haven't even established our characters yet, but by God, we got to make an evil twin episode.
Ah, well, Data doesn't need to have his character established because he's a robot.
Android, asshole.
That is his... No, Picard even calls him a robot.
He doesn't.
He does.
You're lying and wrong. And a little bit racist, I think.
Look, Data is a robot.
You know, at least when Captain, you know, what's her bitch called him a toaster, she pronounced his name correctly.
No, that's Battlestar Galactica. They called the robots toasters in BSG.
No, we're not talking about Mickey Cyloning.
Star Trek BSG was the best series.
Yeah.
It really was.
That was my favorite Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
But it was really weird when they got back to Earth and it was Borgified. Did I spoil it? Sorry.
I liked it when they fought the guy with the lightsaber, Scorpion.
The lifesaver?
Yeah.
You know, so you don't drown.
Did he like throw him at people?
No, it's just one. You only need one lifesaver. Unless you're like really fat or something.
Right.
If you're really fat, they need like two lifesavers and you wear them as water wings.
Yeah, fat floats anyway. You'll be fine.
Well, okay. Okay, smartass. If fat floats, why do I always sink?
Because you're not in water. You're in pudding. I don't know.
But Scott, pudding is more dense than water. I should float in it easier.
I think right now, I think it's pretty much you're more dense than pudding. It's so fun to be mean to people for no reason.
Yeah, except now I just want some pudding.
So do I.
And not the garbage out of the box, like some fresh, warm, homemade pudding.
I want some fresh, homemade tapioca.
Ew, no, chocolate.
You need to be off-putting.
Chocolate tapioca? Gross.
I wouldn't say, hey, Mickey's off-putting.
That's true. Have you seen him? All right, so we're going to talk about the Evil Twin episode of season one TNG or what?
Yes, I believe eventually.
We are. I mean, no, I'm saying do we have to?
Yes, I believe we do.
I was okay.
Picard has got orders to go somewhere.
What?
And his response is, okay, we will, but first I want to go investigate the planet where you found Data, because no one's done that yet.
Uh-huh.
So they picked him up and said, oh, that's neat. They put him in their pocket, and they just went to a starbase and dropped him off, apparently.
Yeah. The curiosity of the human mind in the 24th century.
So this
is amazing.
Yeah, apparently as a scientific institution, Starfleet kind of sucks.
Well, yeah, I mean, they send out the ships on missions based on their horoscope. So, yeah, it's kind of shitty.
So, as they approach Planet Data, they send Wesley down there to go fetch Data, who is busy practicing sneezing.
Because really, that is the best job for Wesley, is go do this thing and bring it back.
Well, no, it makes perfect sense. Wesley is basically an intern. And what do you have an intern do?
What do I have them do? I don't know if I can say that on a podcast.
You know, make the interns do all the menial shit that, like, the real employees don't want to do.
Apologies
to any actual interns who are listening who probably have perfectly respectable jobs, but I kind of doubt it.
Don't apologize to interns. They're subhuman.
Picard wanted Data on the bridge, so he made Wesley go make him come.
Interns.
Coming for Captain Picard.
Not very often.
Well, he doesn't like children, you know.
Good? I mean, that sounds like a positive character trait when you put it in that context.
No, I just can't be around them. I can't be within 50 meters of them.
They give me hives.
Scott, your Picard is terrible.
Sorry, I'm on way too much cranberry juice right now.
That's not a thing. It's absolutely not a thing.
Well, no, it is a thing. Like
breathing way too much air today. You gotta excuse me.
No, it is a thing. Like, his bladder is probably super healthy right now.
That's true, yeah. Your urine is crystal clear.
Uh-huh.
Like, you could bottle it for Nestle and sell it.
That toilet looks like a goddamn koi pond.
It's because it's full of fish.
Yes.
Only until you flush.
No, he has them taped to the inside.
Oh my god, their costumes look like crap in this episode.
Alright, so...
Yeah, in this episode.
Data comes up to the bridge, and Troy launches into some bizarre exposition like, Data, what is it like having the memories of every person on that planet planted into your head? And Data's like, I don't know.
Yeah, he's kind of like... He's like a sullen teenager, but he's like, oh, whatever. It's okay, I guess.
It's not like he'd have any frame of reference.
Right.
It sounds very impressive, but the writer didn't really know how to make me express anything, so whatever.
It's like, I don't have anything to compare it to. Well, there's like six people piling on that turbo lift. It's going to fail. That's got to be a safety violation. Holy shit. Like, the entire bridge crew's on one turbo lift. What if something happens? I thought there's regulations against that.
No, the secondary backups will be fine.
Now, see, if a turbo lift
secondary backups of the crew?
If a turbo lift worked the way it really logically should, there would be no danger of the thing having too many people on board because there would be no gravity acting on it at all.
It still has mass and inertia.
Okay, but like...
Your mom's mass has inertia.
Damn right it does, and you love it.
No, but if you think about it, like, only the deck plate in the turbo lift should be generating gravity. Any other movement is just exerted by the tracks in the wall of the turbo shaft. Except a later episode shows, no, there's gravity in the turbo shaft because, you know, stupidity.
I would really like to personally thank you for reminding me that I am indeed on a podcast about
full of
Star
nerds.
Trek.
Yes.
God. All right, so let's go ahead and beam on down to the soundstage.
Well, I'm not watching the credits yet.
Fine. Okay, let us know.
Okay, we're done.
Yeah, so this is the soundiest of stages.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it the stagiest of
sounds?
It
really captures the open grandeur of a warehouse.
Although, I would like to say I'm impressed by the fact that they actually went back and got an old TOS set to do this on, because it looks like it's straight out of original series.
Or older.
Yes, it's all the majesty of a warehouse that somebody poured dirt in.
I don't know why I recognize this. This was an episode of Gunsmoke.
This is the way Barry Curley's gold.
Oh, they look so fucking goofy with their zippers in the front of their little uniforms. And the way the seam comes around and stops at their nipples.
Yeah, this is... These costumes weren't good.
Okay, also, the rock formation they're crawling around on has natural stairs, or were the stairs carved into this rough-hewn rock for some reason? I don't understand.
Okay, well, so, here on the planet, everything's dead.
Yeah.
And it used to be a farming planet, a healthy farming planet. But now it's just full of paper mache and sand.
And matte painting backdrops.
Oh, God.
So, these steps here, we can assume that they probably were put there intentionally for a nice picnic area.
Mm-hmm.
But then the data apocalypse happened.
Mm-hmm.
Y2K?
Yes. And everyone died. All the plants died. All the bugs died.
All the bacteria in the soil died. Because that's important for nothing, apparently.
But Data was left on a sacrificial altar for them to find.
And looking at Riker, not even a beard could grow here. My God.
He will dramatically step on rocks, though.
Yeah, he's going to get that leg lift in there. Also, Geordi's wearing red, and it's freaking me out.
Okay, so when they get in the turbo lift, to, you know, go have their away team, it suddenly dawned on me why Geordi and Worf changed divisions. Because
mm-hmm.
they're an away team, and there is now two extra red shirts on any given mission they go on.
Yeah.
We know what happens.
Well, we do.
Now, come on. You know that has to be a thing in Star Trek. If you're wearing a red shirt, and you only have this many buttons on your collar... Shit's bad for you, my friend.
Okay, yeah. So as they're exploring Data's sacrificial altar, mm-hmm. Geordi's like, oh, hold up here. This is all artificial here. Did nobody bother to use a tricorder when they found Data? And Data's like, no.
They're like, sweet, free white dude. Some way to throw out a perfectly good white boy.
So Geordi walks up to the papier-mâché wall and says, look, here's a button.
And then he goes, click, under his breath to make it sound like he hit something.
There wasn't really a switch at all. Geordi just pushed.
The door was actually cracked. You could see like a light coming from the inside.
Uh-huh.
There's a draft. I searched for secret doors. Oh, wait. So they get inside, right? And then there's like the most famous prop of all time in here. I was so happy to see it. There's that weird thing with the neon lights that go like, and then this horizontal bar thingy that does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that super famous prop.
But not the one from Sentai.
Well, no, that's in the shape of a ball. After many years of deliberation on this, I've decided that thing is some kind of, you know, advanced processing engine.
It's like a, so it's a computer then?
Well, no, it's part of a computer.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's just the central processor of a computer to be decided later.
Oh, okay.
It's processing things while somebody decides to find a computer to hook up to it.
It's pondering, why am I so useless?
So they find Dr. Soong's lab. And Yara's
Wait,
like,
you don't mean Dr. Noonien Soong.
I do mean Dr. Noonien Soong.
Who was he?
You might say that he's Data's father.
He happens to be one of the greatest scientists of all, whatever. And then,
but one thing I do think was interesting is that Tasha Yar, she actually mentions, like, wait, he was after, you know, fulfilling Asimov's dream. They name Isaac Asimov, like, by name in this episode, which is always
freaks me out. Yeah, they named him by name. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, well, no, it freaks me out when fiction, like, calls on other fiction to make itself seem more real.
Ah.
That's weird to me.
Asimov was a real guy.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's
I assume Scott means that, you know, Asimov's works being fiction are what are being
she
called
She wasn't
upon.
Referring Isaac Asimov. She was referring Bill Asimov.
Oh, that
he was a 22nd century scientist.
He was the 22nd century scientist that Matt Frewer came and, you know, beat up.
I like the part when Data, like, picks up that little face mold thing and puts it over his face, and he pulls it away. It's so smudged with his makeup. Like, whoa, you,
the
dude.
Glory of HD.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Maybe it's...
The worst part about the HD in an episode that focuses so much on Data is seeing just, like, how completely red his eyes are. You know, sweating on set under those hot lights and, you know, little traces of the makeup getting into his eyes and just probably burning the hell out of
him. And the contacts.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That too.
Yeah, because his contacts were freaky yellow in the early episodes until they kind of normalized them.
Well, I mean, he had contacts for the whole series.
Well, yeah, but these are like super freaky yellow looking.
So I like that Yar asked him, do you remember any of this stuff? And it's like, no, but... these children's drawing of the apocalypse seem a little alarming. We should be paying more attention to them.
Man, these kids were shitty at drawing. No wonder you left.
Well, and the whole time, too, he is making, like, reference to how being there is kind of stirring things in the memories of the colonists that he carries.
Yeah, this whole thing is kind of weird because he does a pretty good job of, you know, having that vague sense of memory and impression. I think he does a pretty good job with that. Well, I mean, Brent Spiner's a good actor, so he can do
now
that.
I will say, at least the experience on this failed planet is better for Yar than previous ones.
Good God.
Well, I don't know, because as they open up door number 3, they find out there's Data gangs.
No. This is a completely failed colony. There's rape snowflakes.
God. Precious, precious snowflakes. All right, so...
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, it's just when they bring in the parts of Data, and they're all in that barber fluid, that blue barber fluid for some reason.
I like when they open up Dr. Soong's dry ice closet.
Yeah, maybe I've gone too far.
Well... they've been keeping the extra data parts stored in nitrogen so they don't discolor.
Yeah, have that work out for them. Although, I do think it's interesting in this episode.
Due to content restrictions beyond our control, we are unable to bring you the remainder of this sentence. We apologize for any inconvenience.
Nothing? All right, moving on.
I just want to ask that if they could cut that pun out of the podcast.
Just no, it's staying.
Put a beep over it.
No.
Well, let's see.
No! I worked hard on that one.
That was about 35 seconds ago, I guess.
I had a team of writers working on that.
Well, that just makes it worse. Okay, so I'm making a note. Cut Scott.
Motherfucker. Not you.
I'll dub over him with Paladin or something.
I ain't got nobody.
I'll grab one of his train puns and put that over since it's fairly preferable.
Yeah. Okay, so as Data juggles the decapitated corpse of Lore, they'll decide, you make a great idea. Let's take this fucker back up to the bridge and reassemble him. Not the bridge, but the Enterprise, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
what could possibly go wrong with this plan?
Yeah, see, this I don't understand. Why would they do this? Well, I mean, and it's just like assume this is just what you would do. No one even questions it. No one goes, well, should we do this? Should we take it to the Daystrom Institute? Should we, you know, how does Data feel? No one gives a shit.
Actually, we know how Data feels. Data is like the most motivated to take it and put it back together.
Because it's his brother.
I guess, but what if it comes out? I don't know. If I fire bad. Out,
what if they build it in some kind of psychopathic asshole?
No, no, no. Janeway comes later. Right? They don't build Janeway.
So, up in the building room, they've got an assortment of ensigns and Chief Engineer Argyle.
Argyle.
Yeah. Apparently,
that his uniform should be covered in diamonds.
That actor's name is Biff.
And we never Biff see him Argyle. Again.
No, the actor's name is Biff. The character name is Argyle.
Oh. So I thought Argyle was in like multiple episodes, like two or three.
Yeah, something like that. He was in the one with the Traveler, I know that. Because he had a surprising number of lines in that episode like he does here.
Mm. So, is it me or does he look like he could be like half Tellarite?
Ouch.
He has too many fingers for that.
I was thinking they actually just like digitally put O'Brien's head over him for the rest of the season.
Well, they got the same body shape. Apparently, personal fitness is not an you know not a concern in the 24th century.
So that would be how
they've
all
passed the concern of physical fitness.
That would be how they Lucas this episode, change Argyle out for O'Brien.
I love it.
All right, so let's get to like, the creepy innuendo laden boardroom scene here.
Oh yeah,
where Riker's like, so does it have all your
parts?
And Jory's like. Do we know how to turn it on?
Does it have an anus?
Okay, that was a better Picard.
Well, I must be drawn here. No further.
No, that's the part where you say that you were doing Geordi instead.
That's in a book. All right, so, yeah. And these guys seem to have, like, no concept of what an android is. They seem so confused and I don't know. What a weird episode. So he does, Picard does say human-shaped robots.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't say anything about, I mean, he'd be referring to something else, though. He's not referring to these guys, right?
Yes, Scott. He's completely referring to something else in this whole conversation where he's referring to the two androids.
I don't know. I was barely paying attention.
No, Picard's going into his speech about, well, humans are just biological robots, so we're basically all the same.
Wink.
Right, yeah.
Wow, way to, like, minimize his culture there, Picard.
Check your privilege. Check your biological privilege.
Okay. Star Trek The Next Generation as written by Tumblr.
Okay, so my favorite part of the scene, though, is when Riker's like, oh, by the way, look at this. I took this off the refrigerator down there. And he passes over this child's drawing of the apocalypse of some thing in the sky and people are running and screaming. And then the kid signed his name to it, Josh H.
Yes. So Josh Hartnett. We know what happened to him finally.
No, it's the kid was... He was live drawing the apocalypse, and he bothered to sign his name to it.
Yeah, let that sink in for a while. So just imagine him, like, finishing. He's, like, all pleased with it. He's finally getting the H. He puts a little dot, and his flesh just melts away.
And no, he had,
like Terminator 2.
Someone still had to put it up on the refrigerator.
Uh-huh. Let's just say there's some conceptual inconsistencies in this episode.
The refrigerator in Dr. Soong's lab.
Uh-huh. Listen, all of our sophisticated computer records might be lost at some point. We better put these up here to keep a record of what's happening.
Yeah.
Which apparently is the truth, since they found no computer data.
Yeah, exactly.
If they did. The last time Starfleet was there...
No, not from that lab. They never found that lab because nobody opened the door.
They didn't have a Geordi then, so they couldn't.
Yes, apparently any Starfleet ship without a Geordi is just worthless.
I think that's actually true, though. Geordi's pretty awesome.
Well, we'll get to that later. Himself.
So, down here, Crusher calls Data to come back to the lab, because we need you. So Data trudges on down there, and we get all kinds of episode one weird innuendos going on again. Where Data instructs Crusher to get behind him and stick your fingers in my back.
Yes. Did I
and
say
Crusher's
two?
Like, I meant three. What are these protrusions? And he's like, those are what turn me on. Christ almighty.
You know, if I was designing an android, I would be such a troll. Like, all the important control circuits would be up the butt. So if you wanted to do anything, you'd have to, you know, stick your hand up there.
Well, it's a good protected area, you know.
Yeah.
That's probably the thinking that led to Chobits.
Oh my god.
So I like the fact that he's, like, an incredibly sophisticated, sentient android with a positronic brain, but he has buttons that operate like a snooze on an alarm clock. You press the buttons to determine how long he's unconscious. What is it, like, hit vacuum tubes? What the hell? Does it make, like, typewriter noises when you click them?
So I assume
dial AM and FM.
Yeah, I assume one of those buttons is hour, one of those buttons is minute, and if you, you know, go a little, if you go past the time you're wanting, you gotta go the whole way back around again.
That's what I'm saying. It's like programming a microwave. What the fuck?
No, it's like programming an alarm clock. Microwaves make a lot more sense.
You should stop listening to your microwave, my friend. They don't make that much sense. I don't know what it's been telling you, but you should stop.
They make a lot of sense. Have you ever burnt popcorn in one?
Oh, that is a, that's a scent.
Oh, but my pun was bad! But my pun was bad!
Yeah, but Fort Max is Fort Max, so it's okay.
God damn it.
Scott, we love Fort Max more than we love you.
Yeah. Fort Max has seniority.
Yeah, that too.
She's like 20. What the hell?
Doesn't matter. She's been here longer.
Also, we can't pick on the children.
We can't?
Not according to Picard. No, he does, but that comes later.
All right, so they throw Data in the assembled lore onto the beds and put their nipples underneath a magnifying glass.
Ew.
To do science on.
I love doing science on nipples.
So, the operation's a success, so let's get Picard down here and wake up Lore.
Because this is a good idea.
And Picard starts blathering on, like, oh, well, I wonder which one was first. Lore's eyes snaps open and says, oh, he was.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
He was, but they decided he was garbage, so they made me instead.
Oh, Lore, I love you already.
Oh, no, it would. Let's see. Yeah, I was. Never mind.
Okay.
Data is pleasantly dumbfounded.
What?
It looks like he just rounded a corner and saw a bunch of ladies sunbathing. Naked.
No, he looks more like he was in a hurry to get outside and ran face first into the sliding glass door.
See,
and
I was
and
thinking,
can't quite figure out what just happened.
I was thinking he's looking at Lore, who's an exact duplicate, going, would that be incest or masturbation?
Well, you know Data is fully functional.
Oh, I know, all right. I know how to turn him on.
And Lore does have all of his parts.
I know, what the hell? Jeez, Geordi. Settle down, bro.
Yeah, I would expect this coming from Riker.
Yeah, seriously.
So, does he have a joystick?
I'd like to practice the Riker maneuver with him.
Right. I have a firm grip on the situation.
Let me swing my leg over.
So, Data and Picard have a boring talk about what Lore can do, and, oh, look, he can use contractions. Whoop-dee shit.
You know,
not that big a deal. Data himself was using them earlier in this episode.
And also later in this episode.
Whoops.
Uh-huh. And also pretty regularly in every episode before this.
You know, it's one of those things people call out, but I never really noticed. Maybe I didn't pay enough attention, I guess.
Yeah, Scott, why aren't you, like, sitting there scrutinizing every single flaw with these episodes like we are?
Do you really want me to answer that? You really want me to answer that?
Yes, yes, I do.
Not the answer I wanted, because I can't.
Don't test me, boy.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Moving on, sir.
Okay, so let's smash cut to the bridge where Riker thinks it'd be fun to put Laura behind the wheel of the starship.
What the hell? You picked this stranger up. He's like a hitchhiker. You put him together and you put him in charge of the ship? What the hell's wrong with these people?
Oh, no. They didn't just put him at the steering wheel. They put him at the operations console, which can actually control everything on the ship if necessary.
Like the self-destruct.
Uh-huh.
Life support.
Yeah. Picard's tea maker.
Well, let's not go crazy.
Wesley's hair gel dispenser.
His penis?
No, that's
yes,
a sour cream
control
dispenser.
That as well. So Data leaves Picard's ready room. It's like, whoa, hold the phone. What the fuck is Laura doing in my chair?
Yeah, really.
Oh, that's Laura?
Oh, Data. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot you were here.
Oh, okay. Bye.
And Data has nipples.
We saw that like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, under a magnifying glass.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, you can see... It must be cold on the bridge because you can see him through his uniform.
Apparently they don't have, like, tape on the Enterprise.
God. I think Michael Dorn probably used it all up.
So as Laura and Data walk down the hallway, they have a disturbing discussion about Wesley where Data comments that he's got the body of a child, but we found him to be much more.
Okay, so good. I'm not the only one who read that into that.
Yeah.
Or possibly not good. I'm not entirely sure at this point.
This whole episode is filled with innuendos.
Uh-huh, and subtext.
The point where I'm not sure if it was intentional or just an unhappy accident.
Well, there's so many, though. I mean, just by pure volume, it's got to mean something, right?
Quantity over quality?
Well, yeah. He has a child's body, but we found him to be much more. Ugh. That is so creepy.
I also like that Laura takes the opportunity to point out Riker's an idiot.
Yeah. And I do care how I perform. Jeez.
So as we enter Data's quarters, Laura shifts into full-on lore mode. As Data mentions dear departed daddy, Laura sniggers to himself and refers to him as often wrong soon. And laughs at how hilarious he is.
Because you know you're a villain when you laugh at your own jokes.
When you laugh at your own father.
Being dead.
Well, let's be honest. Their father was kind of a joke.
He created sentient androids.
But what has he done for me lately?
Yeah, I was getting the feeling that was kind of an accident, though. Because he wasn't very good at it.
Uh-huh.
What I always think is funny too, as the series goes on, we get Enterprise and all this other shit, and we learn about the Soong family. They're all a bunch of assholes.
They're all nuts.
Yeah, they're all crazy assholes. But they're geniuses too. They manage to like be successful just enough to be dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, Soong did create Lore.
Yeah. I'm just gonna assume that Lore has a copy of Soong's personality.
Yeah, and Soong was like, man, this guy's an asshole. I'm turn him off.
And shut him down. We don't need one of him. It's enough.
That's why the colonists revolted. Like, you made another one of yourself? God damn it.
So I kind of want to see the story of them overcoming Lore and shutting him down that first time. Because, like, how many people must have died in the effort to do that?
Yeah, no shit. He's like Neo from The Matrix fighting all the agents, you know, but they're all colonists. He's like slinging them away like 20 at a time.
Right, because apparently the only way to do that is to hit him in the back.
Well, you have to key it in very carefully. Uh-huh. So if they had a stenographer, they were fine.
I'm confused here about a plot hole. Okay, so Lore called the crystalline entity. He talked to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He set it up.
Yep.
But at what point did they deactivate him and put data out in this lab?
Hey, well, after he called him, because it took time for the entity to get there, so I guess it was the intervening time? I mean, I'm confused about the time frame of all this stuff, too.
The episode also kind of makes it out like the crystalline entity took a long time to kill everything on the planet.
Okay.
Like perhaps weeks, which kind of flies in the face of what we see in the second appearance of the crystalline entity.
Yeah.
Well, it got better at it. It was still learning to be an apocalypse in the early stages.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just assume they kind of abbreviated the whole process for that second appearance, you know, for convenience sake.
Yeah, because wasn't the second appearance, it was like much scarier. Because here they're like, oh, it can't even harm us. Our shields are up. But like later, it's like this giant apocalyptic thing, right?
Well, okay, so in the second appearance, on the ship, they were not under threat from it because they knew the shields would hold against it. Mm-hmm. It was just when it appeared over that colony they were establishing and it started eating everything.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Now, okay, when was the second time?
Season 3 or 4? I want to say 4. Silicon Avatar.
Mm. Oh, he knows the name of the episode.
The villain of the episode was not the crystalline entity either.
Mm. Was God, it Lore?
No.
Lore is so creepy. Oh, I promised to give a report of the highest accuracy and detail. Good God.
Lore would be an amazing Cardassian.
You know what? I was thinking that earlier, but you beat me to it. I was going to mention that later. But yes, he is very Cardassian.
He is so slimy.
And maybe one of Soong's ancestors created the Cardassians.
Holy shit, Lore is basically Starscream.
Whoa, no. Lore is actually effective. What does Starscream ever do?
Okay, point taken.
Yeah.
Lore is... animated Starscream?
See, now I'm imagining a bunch of different personalities of Lore being split off and put it in different data clones. Well, all right, so Lore starts talking about, hey, so you know all those memories of the stupid villagers you got stuck in your head?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be awesome if you could have a billion times that? Like an unspeakable inhuman consciousness inside you? Something more crystalline?
Wouldn't you like to have so many more men inside you?
They just like, yeah, sure, I guess.
What if you possess?
Would you like to be Ken?
Oh my God!
Fucking multiple men!
Holy jeez!
Unsafe behavior.
Wow, boy, I got Ken in here real quick.
So, Data, what if, just for the sake of argument, you could have the only copy of the knowledge of billions of people? Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, this is like trying to convince your kid to go to McDonald's and they're not sure about it. Are you sure you want a Happy Meal? And they're like, I guess. And you're like, it's really good. And you're like, eh. They have ice cream. I don't know.
Ooh, ice cream.
So it's like, you know, I'm going to tell the captain everything that you just told me right now, because I'm a big tattletale, right? And Laura's like, oh, yes, I know. I planned for that. But Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like it's talking to Xanatos. There's nothing you can do where you're not going to lose.
Yeah.
Well, and the creepier part is, oh, yes, I assumed that when I began studying you.
Mm-hmm.
Studying you!
Gives him the look down. Ooh. Yeah.
So meanwhile on the bridge, the bridge crew is fascinated by what's this big crystalline thing chasing after us? Should we be alarmed?
Oh no, it's not chasing them yet.
Let's just watch it for a while.
This is the part where they have the CG render of the crystalline entity.
Yep.
That Lore probably programmed in the computer. while he wasn't doing anything nefarious at all.
Which what Riker's like, hold up, this sounds stupid. Is this even possible? And Picard's like, sure, why not? It's sci-fi.
Yeah, and even though we're in the 24th century and we've had a space-traveling civilization for centuries now, we've never encountered anything weird before, so yeah, you're right. I don't know why we think this might be real.
I mean, a living crystalline entity? I mean, sure, if it was made of silicon, I'd buy that. Right. Crystal?
Or if it had some sort of ridges on its face, then absolutely, but...
Or it's Aurein. Remember that thing in the pilot?
Oh, yes. The thing we saw like 2 weeks ago? Yeah.
Hey, you know what's wild? A whole civilization that's half computer. We're sure not going to see that next week.
Boy, so Yar pipes up with, excuse me, Captain. I just want to say the security regulations make me ask, is Data going to stab us all in the back for his brother?
Hey, Mickey, I really do not appreciate you doing an impersonation of me like that. It's very hurtful.
At which point, Wesley and George give each other the, oh, no, she didn't look.
Well, I mean, Wesley kind of gives Geordi that look. Geordi's not exactly sure where he's aiming his.
Yar's hair is so frosted. Oh, yeah. It's like a bowl of frosted flakes. It's great.
That's okay. They're going to dye it black later on in the season.
Tar black.
Yep. Picard's like, no. That's quite all right, y'all. You're quite right for asking this question in front of the entire bridge crew. It's yes, cool. Good job.
Thank you for questioning me. See me in my office.
You're taking all the away missions from now on.
Yeah. All right. I've heard of this planet where there's this black thing that lives. I know how to get rid of this bitch. All right. So, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Ken.
Breathe.
Okay, so Lore is hanging out in Data's quarters, and he's pouring champagne.
Yes.
Because we should celebrate.
Where the fuck humans did he get champagne? Things.
Replicator?
Does he even know how to use a replicator?
Of course he does. He's Lore.
He spent 5 minutes in the ship's computer. He knows everything now.
Okay, all right, I'll let it go.
Remember, he's a Data.
Yeah, he's a Data. He has many Datas.
He's a Data with a twitch.
He's a Data with a twitch and the knowledge of how to roofie an android.
Oh, I love it when they land face down. So, what did he do? I mean, okay, we know that he can eat and drink, right? But he does, like, you know, lubricant and stuff like that for his mechanical parts. He doesn't actually digest or absorb anything.
Did he just, like, slip some hearing aid batteries in it or something?
Yeah, what the hell?
So in the scene before Worf reports that Lore went and looked for Quattro Triticale or something... Something used in their construction, and he called it fine grind. And then he's pouring a powder into the champagne.
So, like, graphite. I mean, he put, like, powdered graphite in there. Whatever.
Like, if it makes it easier, just assume he, you know, made him short circuit.
Johnny Five's alive?
Not anymore.
Oh. Okay, all right, whatever.
So, Lore, once he fucking roofies Data, his next step is cutting plans to switch clothes with him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how much the early TNG was like Scooby-Doo or something. Gigi's a clue.
So Lore just finishes swapping clothes with his twin.
You know what the worst part is? It's not even the last time he's going to do that.
You know, Lore, no wonder Lore's such an asshole. Everyone around him is an idiot. He is much smarter than everybody. I mean, this is like Clark Kent Superman level of changes. You know what I mean?
So Wesley walks in. I guess because he wanted to catch Data changing or something.
He has curiosities.
And he sees Lore on the floor.
Lore on
the
floor?
And Data explains, oh, well, he went crazy or something, so I took him out. And then his Data's face twitches.
I turned him off.
I've been practicing. That's right,
yeah. So Wesley catches the facial tick and says, hey.
I've been practicing.
Not Data says, look, I'm pretending to be Lore. Isn't that funny?
No. He says, is that not funny? And Wesley's all, you know, you probably shouldn't do that, because if you'd said, isn't that funny, I might have suspected you were Lore, who's the only android who can use contractions.
Right.
I can't decide if Wesley is clued in or if he's just acting weirdly. I mean, acting like, you know, the act of acting. Not
right.
Behaving.
A state of being. Yeah, so then they just apparently getting rid of facial tics and androids. They have a tool for that. Apparently they made a tool specifically that adds and removes facial tics from androids.
It's like an infrared eraser.
I think when they were putting Lore together in the first place, they just kind of wired something up wrong.
Fuck, we always have screws left over. This sucks.
Positronic by IKEA.
The Positrons.
Best luck, Positronic Brain Kit.
What the hell am I going to do with 16 tiny Allen wrenches now?
I like stepping on them randomly in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Better than Legos.
Yeah, it is better than Legos. But also, if you have too many of those, it means you probably have an infestation of Swedes.
Except Legos are Danish.
Well, no, the Allen wrenches, I was going to say.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I knew what he meant.
Yeah, he's getting...
Didn't care.
Now, infestation of Swedes, that could be good. It could be Giga Beetles.
Yeah.
But generally something infesting Sweden, it's refugees.
Oh, topical. Rough.
We have topical humor.
When like is Giga Beetles' photo album coming out anyway?
Summer, I think?
It's summer. Yeah.
Maybe Giga Beetle can hook us up with a review copy.
I think I'd rather pay Giga Beetle, actually.
I'm not saying I wouldn't pay Giga Beetle, just, you know, maybe he can get us, like, an early copy of it.
That wouldn't be good for sales, though.
And then we can talk about it. Well, it wouldn't be good for sales, but it also wouldn't be bad for sales, because it assumes somebody would actually listen to us talking about it.
I was going to say, yeah, that'd be a great podcast. And then actually turn the page, and there's another picture.
Oh, this time, Skywriter's killing himself with the katana.
Well, V3 does coke.
Darth Vader's polishing his helmet. It's a double entendre. Ha
ha! Kylo Ren's polishing Darth Vader's helmet.
We're reading a book made by a grown man who plays with dolls. Yeah, I didn't think that would go over well in this crowd.
Scott, how many swords do you own?
Oh, dude, not only swords, I just packed up all my action figures I had on my shelves, okay? So I have no stones to throw.
Okay, what kind of action figures do you have?
Actually, several of them, Hey Mickey customized and made for me. I'm very, very fond of them.
But what are they?
Damn it, you beat me to it. I was going to ask you, how many customized figures of your own D&D character do you have?
Like two or three of them, and they're all made by you.
Nerds.
Yeah, I guess they're all my D&D character. Hmm? Say what?
You heard me.
No, I didn't. I would really like to.
Okay.
I said nerd.
Hey! God damn it.
Fort Max. Okay, back on the bridge here.
Dear Diary, Fort Max called me nerd.
Captain and not Data, or not Lore. This is getting confusing. Evil Android are talking about doing something. I don't know. The important thing is that Wesley stands up and says, hey, wait a second. Don't trust him.
He's a phony.
Shut up, Wesley.
He's a phony.
It's a fake.
Yes.
It's real.
It's still real to me.
And I love it as Riker like points off, like, you get off this bridge. You come with me, young man.
Now you go get a switch and you bring it here to me.
You go replicate a switch.
A big one.
Wesley comes back with just a light switch.
Oh. Smart.
Comes back with Data's power button.
Okay, so as they find unconscious Data on the floor.
Oh, we're up there. Okay.
Lore cautions, whoa, you guys better stand back here. If he comes, if he wakes up and he senses that you're near, he'll kill everyone. So, yeah.
And look, he's twitching. He is absolutely Lore.
He's got this crazy tard strength. Urgh. So the crystalline entity just kind of appears too, and everyone's kind of glaring at it.
Well, wait, this is like where the Lore sort of kicks into overdrive awesome here, where as soon as they leave the room, he starts kicking Data in the face over over again.
Motherfucker! I'm surprised he didn't curb stomp him.
No, they,
what
they
about
could,
that,
they
though? It's just Data from just being like some kind of manipulative character, someone who's actively a psychopath.
Lore, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna just kick you in the face for no reason at all because it's fun.
He does. He has this like smirk in his face when he's doing it. Yeah, I like that.
Yes, imagine that. Someone from a family who has a history of, you know, genetic manipulation and random other science projects doesn't really get how to program a conscience.
Although, it is strange to me that you're going to have generations of mad scientists. Because how do they procreate? Who do they meet and go and settle down and have kids
with? Okay. So, you know, great-granddad Sung back in Enterprise looked alarmingly similar to Noonien. I kind of think it's just, you know, generations of cloning.
Oh, my God. They just get crazier each time.
And Noonien decided to, like, one-up this. That's why the, you know, Data series is in his image. Instead of a clone, he's just going to become an android and live forever.
With fame?
Yes.
Live forever. Oh, man.
So back on the bridge, Wesley is again speaking when he should not be speaking. What if Data and Lore, like, switch places, and Lore was Data, and Data was Lore? Shut the fuck up, Wesley. I'll have none of your nonsense on my bridge.
Acting, Ensign. More like,
acting. He is acting all right.
Like, overacting.
Well, the whole thing, it's really stupid, too, because, like, if Wesley had said one more sentence the first time he brought it up, it would have gone a little different. You know, when Lore invites Wesley to come back to his quarters with him. No, I mean, if at that point Wesley would have just been like, I got reason to believe that might be Lore in disguise. Instead of just being like, you know what? Don't let him walk around the ship with no explanation.
Yeah. Mighty convenient.
Uh-huh.
Although I would like to point out that the crystalline entity, it being all CGI for like 1986, that was pretty goddamn mind blowing.
Okay, you realize this is the remaster and they've updated that significantly.
Yeah, that's completely redone special effects.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's not a remaster. That's complete re-render.
Oh.
No, I'm just saying this is the remaster version and that's why it's updated special effects.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember what the original looked like now. I don't remember. It was a long time ago in a galaxy very nearby.
well.
All right, so as the Crystal's entity begins to become aggressive, Lore wanders on set, says, "Oh, before you do anything, let me talk to it."
You didn't say you could do that.
Yeah.
Bitch, that's you didn't weird. Ask.
Data's keeping secrets. That's weird. Huh. Well, nope, no explanation for that. Moving on.
So Data hops in the comm and says, "Crystal entity, this is Data, wink. These people are very strong. They will kill you. Fuck off."
Yeah.
Hangs up the phone, says to the guards, like, "All right, now we're going to beam a tree out into space. We're going to blow it up to scare it. I'll handle it from the cargo bay."
What the hell? And you get the cute little thing of Picard going, "Make it so." And Data Lore is like, "What? That's a fucking stupid thing to say." And Picard's like, "Just do the thing I said. Go." Mm-hmm. Weird. Yeah. Like, oh. Even Crusher's like, "Shut up, Wesley. Did you just talk to my son that way?" And he turns around and goes, "Yeah." And she goes, "You shut up."
And then Wesley's just like, "Can I go to my room?"
Yeah. "You guys suck. I'm going to my room."
Good idea. Doctor, go with him.
Yeah.
Of course, was like, "The fuck did you just order me off the bridge?"
And she's sitting there. She kind of looks straight ahead. She's just grinding her jaw. She's thinking, "This motherfucker, I could put him under medical leave in a second. I could take over the ship if I wanted to.
I've got the same rank as Will Riker. I could fly a ship."
Oh, yes. The Data versus Worf fight.
Oh, I love this fight. Because when Worf just fucking like punches him across the face and he just turns his head back and smiles like, uh-huh. Smug. Uh-huh. The smug tastes like whipped cream and coffee and steak. Lore allows Worf a second hit before he just takes him out in one backhand.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Sit down, bitch.
Yeah.
And he goes down to the floor.
I love Lore. So the Crushers head down to go check out the unconscious Data, and Crusher fingers him awake.
Mm-hmm.
And they flap up his head flap. And Data's fine, apparently.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's still an android.
Well, you know, Rufy only lasts so long.
Yeah, so apparently the chemical, or whatever it was, made him go unconscious, freak out, and go to a coma, but you could press buttons to wake him back up. So those two things aren't connected at all? Isn't the stuff still inside him? Or I don't
well,
know
okay, so the
works.
Button's like where his kidney would be. So like pushing the button there probably just, you know, filtered all the stuff out of his system.
So he made him piss just himself.
Like, yeah.
He's like those pump sneakers. He hit the release and it right. degassed him.
Yeah.
It degassed his hard drive.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
So down there in the cargo bay, Lore is busy being deliciously evil.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they made... I said that they made me first. Well, I said that they made Data first, but I lied.
Because I'm evil. And he puts his pinky up to his cheek. I'm so naughty. I like how Crusher comes down the corner with a dustbuster.
I like how Crusher comes down the corner to kick ass.
With her phaser pointed up to the ceiling.
Well,
do no harm. I'll do all the harm I want. Thank you very much.
You're near my child.
Well, that doesn't count with Lore. He's not a person.
He's an it.
Yeah.
Racist. Surrounded by racists.
Unfortunately, Crusher didn't count on Lore being completely awesome.
Crusher didn't count on that. You know, Lore might be faster than my reaction time.
Yeah.
She didn't count on Lore being willing to set Wesley on fire slowly. Just to teach her a point.
Right.
Also, make all the fun you want. I love the season 1 phaser design.
Oh, the Type 1 little handheld phasers?
No, the Dustbuster.
Well, yeah, those are little Type 1s.
No, the Type 2, that's what she's carrying.
She has a Type 2? What's a Type 1?
The one you can't see.
That's the electric razor kind.
Oh. I like how...
Type 3 are the ones they evolved to.
Okay, right. I like where he goes to shoot.
No, Type 3 is the rifle.
Oh, well, then whatever.
The Type 2 is the electric razor that's in the Type 1.
Okay. This is stupid. The point is that Lore is going to burn Wesley's face off molecule by molecule unless Crusher leaves.
Yeah.
So, Crusher decides, okay, well, I guess I'll go. And as she's leaving the room, Lore decides, you know what? I'm going to set your arm on fire as you leave, just for fun.
To be fair, I kind of suspect Lore meant to set more of her than her arm on fire. And she just kind of moved the wrong way.
Yes, but then we get the fantastic shot of Beverly running out of the scene on fire. Literally.
Yes. Yes.
I do love a fiery redhead.
That phaser wasn't set to stun or to kill. It was set to burn and cause pain.
Yeah.
I love you,
to conflagrate.
You are evil.
It was set to ignite.
Lore is like possibly the most evil character in Star Trek. Just malicious Joker evil.
Yeah. And like how Wesley like goes at him for like a step or two, like, no, I'm gonna get you. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. So that little dog's like, I can take you. Whoa, 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 maybe not. I regret this decision.
Well, Data grows a pair of balls and starts Star Trek wrestling with Lore.
Just don't look too close, or you'll see their faces.
And they start throwing empty barrels at each other.
They like Race Bannon from Johnny Quest.
Uh huh.
I only had a barrel to throw with them.
Yeah, I like how that's the best thing Lore can come up with under the circumstances.
To Donkey Kong them.
Ooh, there's a barrel. I should throw that.
It is a pretty irresistible urge.
Lore was probably hoping that they were video game barrels and they were going to explode when they hit Data.
Were they red?
They weren't, but...
Right.
Yeah, they were more kind of like, bronzy, I guess?
Yeah, there's some red ones behind Wesley. If they hit those, the entire ship would have gone up.
Mm. Yeah.
But these are black with like copper tops, so they look like, like beer cans.
Or
like
batteries.
Guinness cans.
It's too bad
they're black with copper tops that make them giant Duracells.
It's too bad this is first season, because like in later seasons, the cargo bays are full of barrels of like radioactive rocket fuel. And I think that would have been a lot more effective here.
Mm-hmm. And then they would have been scraping Wesley off the walls with a putty knife.
Like I said, it would have been more effective here.
Speaking of Wesley.
Oh yeah, he's here.
Him and Data basically... Data throws Lore onto the transport pad, and Wesley beams him into space. Which is fairly hardcore.
Yeah.
In fact, the Lore doesn't need to breathe, sort of tones it down a bit. If there was a human being they'd done that to, that would have been really amazing.
Yes. But on the other hand, Lore did not have any means to propel himself through space, so he's just going to be there, hanging out, for the foreseeable future.
It's like in Futurama was when Bender was zipping through the galaxy by himself. Oh, well, bored now.
But yeah, alas, in about 2 years, the Packwoods show up.
Yeah.
And that goes about as well as you would expect.
And we learn again that Wesley's a dirty little liar. Lore's gone, sir, permanently.
He'll never bother us again, ever.
Nope.
Not even during sweeps week.
So the only thing that was missing was like the cut to outer space and then Lore floating through it like the star child in a fetal position, laughing maniacally.
And that should be continued.
Exactly.
No, it would be the end, ...
Question mark?
Oh, but yeah, so like
with
Beverly Lore comes bursting
in the background.
Beverly comes bursting back in with Picard and Riker and Yar. All with their tiny little phasers.
It's cold in space, okay? Don't judge.
See, those are the Type 1 phasers.
Okay.
that you can barely see on screen. That's why they stopped using them.
Okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to take a look because I want to see what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, you're right. They're little thumb things. They're like little...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What the hell are you going to do with it? Are you going to zap mosquitoes?
Well, most of the time phasers are used in Season 1, it is those phasers.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. The Type 2 are the bigger handheld Dustbuster ones. You're
right.
Yeah,
and though the design of those evolved for various reasons as the series went on. Most notably, to have the handle curve more and more because... as I think Fort Max pointed out, like, the phasers are pointing at the ceiling because they don't know how to aim with them because there's no line of sight on them.
Right. They're pretty dumb as far as weapons go.
So, you know, most of the time when a beam is needed, they could fix that in special effects by just having the beam point off in a weird direction.
Yeah, and it's very obvious.
Yeah, but, like, no, they became more, like, pistol grippy later on, so you could actually, like, aim them properly. But I still like the Season 1 version the best. And there's no toy of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't toyetic enough.
Well, it's just like in 87 and 88, Galoob had the license and they made a Type 1 phaser, not a Type 2. And by the time Playmates got the license in the early 90s, they were not using that Season 1 design anymore.
I sometimes forget you guys are toy nerds. Oh, yeah! Oh, okay, so... hey, Mickey just gave us a fantastic infographic of the Type 1, Type 2, and then the later versions of the Type 2 phasers. Very good. That's perfect. Yeah, you see the evolution of, like, 2364 to 2366 and then 2371. So they go from round and gooey-looking to a lot more angular with a much more of a curved handle. Yeah, very, very good.
Yeah, I've got the two Playmates Type 2 phaser toys. One from the TV show line and then one from, I think, the First Contact line, which would be the 2371
type. No, I kind of miss the rounder, more ergonomic one, because it matches the aestheticof, like, the ship a lot more with that curvilinear kind of look. I kind of miss that. I kind of don't like the fact they went more angular.
That is true. The early model phasers do match the Starfleet design style of the Galaxy class.
Well, right. The
2366 model is more of a Voyager style.
Yeah,
the other thing with the Type 2, the original Type 2, it a lot more falls into what the design intent was, which is that more than a weapon, this is a tool. Like, you can do more things with this than just shoot people.
Right, you can, like, carve mountain faces and use it to heat things. And
exactly.
Right.
One of the Star Trek tech manuals, which many years ago I was able to get out of a library, actually had, like, explanations.
Is it the brown one?
Hmm?
Is it the brown one?
I don't know. But it had explanations for the different phaser power settings and actually compared one of them to, like, this would cook a chicken pot pie in 3 minutes.
Right.
For and an idea of the equivalent power.
Yeah, level 16 was the highest one. And it could, like, destroy a mountainside, like vaporize a mountainside or something.
Yeah, something like
that. You only
get,
like, 3 or 4 shots out of it.
Right.
Yeah. So cool. So you mentioned something earlier, and since I have heard a rumor that you're kind of a toy geek.
That's right.
I may have misheard. So is Galoob still around? Because I had forgotten that word until you just mentioned it.
I think owned them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hasbro bought them out.
So,
like,
they have
10 or more years ago?
I think it was with – I think Galoob was owned by Tonka.
Oh,
okay, so even earlier than that, then.
So,
but Hasbro didn't get them till they bought Tonka.
Right, but they bought Tonka more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, this was, when they got Galoob around the time they got, I guess Kenner was also owned by Tonka then, wasn't it?
I don't think.
So I'm trying to remember what else Galoob made. Did they
the
make
Game Genie.
Game Genie. Micro Machines.
Micro Machines. That was the one I was going to ask. Because the little Micro Machines of the Star Trek ships, of the TNG one and stuff, I had those. I still have them. And they are fucking awesome. And I love them to death. The Micro Machines Star Trek ships were so fucking cool.
Yeah. So when Hasbro was doing, like, Titanium series products for Transformers and Marvel and I think some Star Wars too, it was also...
And Trek.
It was Galoob co-branded.
Yes.
because that was the division of Hasbro that was actually producing that stuff.
Yeah, because on those were all the titanium stuff was also branded with Micro Machines.
The small ones, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm looking at them right now on Memory Alpha, and I had almost all of them. I still have most of them in a box around here somewhere. I love them.
But yes, you are on a podcast with three toy nerds.
I may have known that already. I may have had a clue.
Yes. Yes, well, the fact that we're going to... Well, I'm going to be participating in a live stream for Toy Fair in 2 weeks probably would tip that off, too.
Yes, you're better than us. We get it,
okay? Galoob wasn't part of Tonka. They bought Galoob in 98.
Okay, so that was the last thing they acquired out of the major competitive brands.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so cool. God, I want these now. I'm looking at them. I want them.
Tricorders are expensive.
Tricorders?
Yeah.
I have the Playmates just regular science tricorder.
let's see. What is that going for on Amazon? $104.
Mine's not in great shape. A lot of the... You know how it had the tampographs on it for some of the status lights and stuff? It had a few tampographs and then a bunch of stickers. The stickers aren't in good shape, and a lot of that paint is worn off, too.
Mm.
So mine's not actually worth anything except to me as a thing that I own.
Mm.
Does it still make noise?
I think it did the last time I put batteries in it. I don't actually know where it is now, but it probably doesn't have batteries in it, so it should be fine.
If you only had some sort of device you could scan for it with.
I've always wanted a medical tricorder, but those are well and far beyond my price range.
$132 on Amazon.
Uh-huh.
It's in box? I mean, cherry?
Yeah.
I would... Yeah, okay. I mean, if it's like your thing, I mean, you could save up for it.
Oh, well, here's one on eBay for $20.
What kind of...
Yeah, still got 6 days left.
Yeah, that'll go up. Go hit the completed listings thing down there.
I can't do completed listings. I don't have an account.
I don't think they lock that to accounts anymore.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Where's it at?
See that big thing of search options on the sidebar?
Yeah.
Just keep scrolling down that, you'll find it.
Refinements? Oh, there's completed listings. Okay.
Keep sliding your hand down until you feel something. Lower. Lower. So
here's a tricorder cushion.
That doesn't sound very comfortable.
Okay, so Starfleet medical tricorder working with box, $45.99.
That's nothing.
The only problem is most of what you see on here is the inner space playset thing, which that's not at all helpful.
Oh, it's kind of the Mighty Max thing. Where you open up and there's you can play with tiny version on the inside. Okay.
Yeah, although you can get a Bajoran tricorder for $10.
Yeah, there's a reason for that, don't you think?
Yeah.
No, one of those inner space sets was pretty cool because I think it was the Runabout.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I'm still flipping through the Micro Machines versions of the ships. Oh, I love these things. I do. I have such fond memories of playing with them. So one thing I thought was interesting, because this is the first episode of the Crystalline Entity that we just watched.
Yeah.
And in the MMO, it's actually a raid. You get 10 ships, 10, 10 real people have to take on the Crystalline Entity and see if you can destroy it.
Well, that's silly, because they destroyed it really easily in its second appearance.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Apparently, it reconstitutes itself. It can put itself back together, and every time it does, it gets tougher and more resistant to what killed it the first time. So
it's Doomsday?
It's that kind of concept, yeah.
It survives playground insults?
As you and I both know, nobody comes away from that unscathed.
Tell me more.
No, I just thought it's click here. I just think it's interesting. It's like a boss fight in the Star Trek video game. So it still exists. They still do the stuff with the Crystalline Entity.
Well, of course, like, the MMO is going to use every little asset they possibly can, you know.
And they do.
Ugh, Jesus wept. This is the worst looking sculpt of Kirk.
Oh, boy.
Do, 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 do. That's not Kirk, that's...
O'Brien?
No, that looks like Dennis Quaid.
Quaid.
Start the reactors. Not that
Quaid. Oh, there was an Interspace Defiant, too.
No, he looks like Dennis Quaid mixed with George W. Bush. Look at the squinty eyes. And he's sitting in his captain's chair thinking, God damn it, sure is bright on the bridge today. What's all this fucking lens flare doing here?
Damn studio lights.
Not much better.
Is there how many lights? How many lights, XV?
What?
I said, how many lights are there?
I don't know how many lights you have in your house.
Wait, that's... Is that a gay Ken doll they turned to a Star Trek figure?
That is... Like, are all those scribbles photoshopped in?
They are. There's like copy-pasted. You're right. No. That looks like a, Oh, fuck. The martial arts guy looks like this, and he was in Under Siege, and he was the cook, and he's all
Steven
fat.
Steven Seagal?
Yeah, he looks like a young Steven Seagal.
So you mean a less fat Steven Seagal?
Precisely. One who doesn't look like he ate all the tribbles around the picture.
Maybe there wasn't
a part of
that interface set.
Whoa, there's like little sets of like other scenes, like the Horta and Spock. Oh, neat.
Is there a set of McCoy curing a rainy day?
Let me look.
A Horta.
You shut your Horta mouth. There is one. Well, no, here's a prayer candle with Jesus on it. It's about the same thing. There's a half clear Kirk of him. Which is a figure of
the
half
opaque Kirk.
Yeah. You know, 6-1, half dozen the other, you smarmy bastard. But who wants a toy of a half beamed up character? How do you play with that? It's something that happens for like a second. Answer me.
Okay, I'm confused.
If you don't play with it, you'll leave it on your desk at work.
Well, that's true, but shut up. Hey, I still have this thing. I found the classic Star Trek collector's classic collector figure set, which involved the original series on the bridge in that big box. I've got one of those.
So I'm confused by this.
That's a picture of a naked woman.
Maybe one of you could explain this to me.
Oh, this listing has ended?
Scroll down. The pictures are there.
Okay, which one? What am I looking at? Interspace?
The picture of what the item is.
Of the Apollo Command Module BS.
I could end up with those Power Rangers Heroes of Space figures.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out why there's a Star Trek Inner Space set of the Apollo Command Module.
That's a really good question. And yeah, no, they're actually just 60s era.
Uh-huh.
Just, why are they?
I don't know.
What? All mini Star Trek figures fit in all mini playsets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what we want. Yes, I want Kirk.
Anyway, that was Data Lore.
Yes, it was. That's our Data Lore.
So what are we watching next week?
Oh, yeah,
Deep Space Nine?
Sure.
Do we already pick one?
No, I don't think so.
Fort
if we
Max?
Did, I don't recall.
I don't think we did.
No, I'm asking you. Pick one.
The episode with Q.
Okay.
All right.
Which one is that?
It's got Q in the title. It should be pretty easy to pick out.
I want to say it's Q-less. Because, see, it sounds like Clueless, which was a popular movie that year.
Or K-less, which is the, you know, the Klingon hero.
K-less the Unforgettable.
Who?
Kalos the Unforgiving.
Oh, yeah. let's see here. Where the hell is DS9?
It's near Bajor.
Son of a bitch. hurt. Deep shit 9. Here we go.
Season 1, episode 7.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was early on, wasn't it?
And it shows.
Yeah, because people still had hair, but no beards, and it was weird. And I'm not talking about Kira.
Well, yeah, at this point in the series, Kira was still wearing, like, a regular Bajoran uniform.
Oh, yeah. Nope, shut up. I'm listening to you now.
All right. So, Q-List next week.
Yeah, yes. Awesome. I am so making my fiance watch this with me.
Did she watch Datalore with you?
No, because I watched Datalore right after we finished recording last week because I didn't feel like doing anything else. I wanted to sit here and watch, so I just clicked on it and watched it.
Well, that's a shame. We could have had her reactions, too.
Yeah, well...
You're denying us valuable content.
that's me, all right. Because I have so much content to give. Well,
she's like our show's Neelix, and she's the chef.
She is the chef. Hopefully in about a month or two, we'll be living together. So there won't be any time where I'm not around her. So we'll have a lot more.
That's gonna make some of these jokes pretty awkward. I gotta say.
Nah, well, I have my own. The house we're looking at is gonna be big enough where I have my own office, so I'm not worried about it.
Oh, I thought you were moving into her house.
Well, I am for the very short term until we buy the big one we want. So.
Mm-hmm. I want to buy a big one, too.
I thought you got the big ones for free.
No, I got my money for nothing and the chicks for free.
So we always talk about free milk and a cow. Well, what about the free milk and the bull?
Well.
No.
Well, I milk the bull when you get the steaks for free. something.
Yeah, but you get the sausage for free. Why do you have to milk the bull? Wait, what are we talking about?
We're talking about bedtime.
Oh, okay, yes.